Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in Dot Zack Building in the Grand Center area, right here in St. Louis, Missouri. New records in every Friday, so come by, check it out, and pick up some new music. They have a great local selection, as well as all your favorite national acts. And check it all out. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're always giving away records and different things, and tickets and shows. And so follow along. It pays to support. Also, this year, Music Record Shop is the official record store of Lou Fest. So check it out. If you're over at Lou Fest this year, be sure to visit and say hey and pick up some new records from all your favorite Lou Fest artists. Again, everything at musicrecordshop.com. Check it out. Very excited to welcome Dynamic Screen Printing to the show. These guys have been just crushing it lately. They've been making shirts for all your favorites around town, including the brand new Rock Paper Podcast shirt. So I'm a proud customer. These guys have become great friends of mine, and I'm super happy that they're a part of this show now. This is a very exciting stuff. So check out Dynamic Screen Printing on Facebook. Feel free to email them any of your ideas at dynamicscreenprintingstl@gmail.com. And if you mention the show, 10% off your first order. So that's very exciting, very cool stuff. And get involved. Like I said, they're doing really great stuff. If you thinking about making some shirts for your band or next event or whatever it might be, whatever you need screen printed, feel free to reach out to Dynamic Screen Printing. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh, yeah. This is the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it.
Hey, it's Bill Romer, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Bill Romer. Welcome to
the
show, man.
What's going on?
Hey, this is very exciting. Yeah. I realized before we got rolling on this thing, we have a lot of mutual friends, and it was just kind of cool that this all happened to work out the way it did, and we are here today. And I talk about it a lot on the show, but it's kind of the fun of it for me is that the show is now doing the work for me, and people are kind of saying, "Hey, I'd like to be a part of that." And then they're constantly keeping me discovering new music in our town.
Sure.
So I'm thankful that it worked out where we're here today, and I get to learn more about what you're up to and some of your music and everything. And
absolutely, man. Vice versa. It's cool. There's not a lot of this around St. Louis, so that's kind of why I'm excited to do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's I've learned there's quite a bit more podcasts out there around St. Louis than I knew about. Not a ton of them focusing on local and stuff. So, like, I do kind of have a little bit of narrowed in on that market, but it's cool that other people are more and more are coming about, though. Like, so that's cool that I've had other people like say that, I inspired them to get out there and do this.
Right.
Like, that feels really good. Like, I'm like, yeah, get out there, be creative, do something, have some fun with it. So.
And the dream in business is just have people come to you. So.
Yeah, sure, man. Yeah. But, this is, like I said, this is very cool, very exciting. I'm excited to hang out and get to meet you and get to know a little more about what Bill's been up to. So,
Tell me, man, I did read online that on your bio that you did grow up in here in St. Louis, though, born and raised here?
Yes, I was. I'm the typical North County guy. Yeah. My family started out in Florissant, Ferguson area, and then as I grew, we progressively move out here to O'Fallon is where we kind of ended up. But now I'm in Lake St. Louis, so it seems I go farther west as we go. So
all right. Phone lines.
There's the phone.
Phone lines are lighting up already.
Yeah.
I'm born and raised in Wentzville. I've lived out here all my life. So, this is home, man.
Man, you've seen it explode then.
For sure, yeah. I mean, it's went from kind of a one street town to what it is now, man.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we had, we pretty much had like McDonald's and Stephanina's and the old Walmart and the old Schnucks and everything else. But like, and then, now there's every restaurant and everything else.
I wasn't born and raised out here, but we moved out here, I guess, 99. And there were still parts of Highway K that were two lane. And now that's just ridiculous. It's Manchester squared.
Right. So when did you find music through all that?
I grew up in a very sports orientated, I guess. My old man played football for the University of Missouri, I'm a bigger guy, so I thought that's what I needed to do. But when I was about 12 or 13, my neighbor got a guitar, and the competitive side of me decided I was going to get a guitar and play too. And just as the years progressed, that it was kind of more and more in the background, and then it became in the foreground, and I stuck with it and found out you could get girls with a guitar.
Yeah.
And he quit, and now I think he's a doctor or a nurse or something. And I look back on that and think, well, maybe I should have just hit the books a little harder. Mm-hmm. But I love it, man. It's one of those things that I don't think I would, even if I do it for a living, but even if I didn't do it for a living, I would still do it. So
yeah, that's I read that also on your website that you you made the commitment to becoming a full-time musician.
Sure.
And doing it for a living, and like, and I was like, man, that's a so many people think of making it as like this rock star thing, it's
sure.
Like, I got to be on tour, but there's like, I look at guys like yourself and my mutual friend Dimmer Wade Trent, and pays his bills playing
Wade's
music.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Wade is awesome. Yeah,
and like, it's like, it's just like I look at that and like, I mean, that's making it. Like, you might not, you're not in this giant tour bus or whatever, but you're getting paid to play music all day. Like, so
absolutely, and that's 100% it. I mean, I went through a time. I've been doing it now. This is, I guess, my ninth, almost 10th year doing it for a full-fledged living. You start out and you're like, wow, this is tough. And then all of a sudden things start rolling. And then I was on a cruise ship for 2 years, which was super cool until it wasn't. But it was still cool. I don't regret any of it. But, you have those moments where you're like, ah, damn, this is tough. And you look back at it and you say, you know what, though? For 9 years I've been able to keep my head afloat. So that's huge. That's making it, in my opinion.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I just so many people. I just feel like, that's their perception of it. But I mean,
sure.
There's a lot of working musicians in town that just, between, you might have to hustle a little bit, between a couple of different bands or gigs or whatever. But these guys are making it doing original or cover stuff,
sure,
or whatever, playing music though for a living.
There's definitely ups and downs to it, especially the cover world and doing cover shows, because it's kind of the creative juices.
Sure.
You're not really working the room, the person who sings the song is, but still though, it's still awesome, and the good definitely outweighs the bad in that situation for sure. So
yeah, I think some of that though, like, there's ways about doing it, you look at stuff like El Monstero or whatever. Like, there's some of these tribute acts and some of the different cover stuff that are like kind of making their own.
Sure.
It's like, you're still doing cover material, but you're making it new and exciting again. And then like,
sure. And let's be honest, especially El Monstero. I mean, Pink Floyd's never in a cover they're never going to tour again.
Yeah.
Not the right version, not the right lineup. So that's a, I mean, that's a perfect band to roll out and do that because, you know, that's, the music is great. And
I got friends, My Posse in Effect, or Beastie Boys tribute. Man,
I saw them at Point Fest.
Yeah, they just played over the weekend at Way Back Point Fest. Yeah. And playing again Thanksgiving Eve at the Ready Room.
That's awesome.
But they're incredible. And they sound just like the Beastie Boys.
That's so cool.
but again, you know, unfortunately, we're never going to have a Beastie Boys show again. So, you know, so they do have that edge up, or the fact that they're kind of an in demand because there isn't a lot of people doing that kind of thing. So,
you know, I mean, you have that certain class of people that will turn down their nose to the cover bands and stuff like that, but you know, it's all part of the machine.
Sure.
You need one to do the other, so it's definitely an interesting thing. But I think the biggest part about it is when I set out to do it, I had no idea that there was money in it. I just knew it was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, well, you know, I was working for this company that was kind of networking and copy machines and stuff is what I was doing, and you know, you go through those things, and you just know you're not supposed to be doing something. And I didn't really know what it was, but then I jumped off the cliff and started doing music. And when I realized there was money in it, is when I really started buckling down. And there is money in it. It's just not, you have to hustle. You know, you take a day off, you lose a week. That's the way I live. So I take days off, but but then I'm always, you know, you can ask my fiance Sarah. She's always, you know, well, why can't we have, well, this is my one day, and I'm like, well, I got to do this. If I get this done, it's a complete day. So, but I mean, you know, you're doing this thing. It's you know, it's a hustle.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's part of the fun of it for me too. The hustle, like, I like to have a little more stability, do more things, but I mean, part of it's exciting because it is, you know, it's the hustle and have fun with it. And,
and I know the music community appreciates everything that you do with this for sure.
Thanks,
so,
man.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm sure that they're all on board because it's awesome. You know, you look at your page and you have all those things. And I don't know how many cities I've gone to where I wish something like that was happening because you got a day off and I want to go see some live music. Mm-hmm. Well, if you type live music into Google, they show you Yelp.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that helps, I guess.
Sure.
But
like, yeah, I do get a lot of comments of, in regards to my list that I put together of all the music in town that I can think of and stuff, and so people seem to really dig that.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's kind of crazy because, like, you know, you have these, like, Facebook memories or whatever and stuff on there now. And, like,
I hate those.
Well,
I was on one in 2008.
Yeah. Well, some of them was kind of fun, but it's like it pops up, like, because when I started doing the list, it was only like 3, 4, or 5 on a Friday night. And now, you know, I've had up to like 40 on a Friday night.
Right.
So it's like, so that's exciting for me to see how far out I've networked and how much more music I've discovered around this town. I'm like, so that's cool for me. Like, you know, I look at that and I'm like, man, like, you know, I kind of thought I knew something then, and then now I realize, man, I didn't know anything then. Like,
what's it's a very untapped music scene for sure, and I think that's why you're starting to see Nashville's arms kind of come up here, because it's the closest big metropolitan area to Nashville that is untapped in that world.
Sure,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I feel St. Louis is definitely bubbling under, man. We have so much amazing talent, but I wouldn't, you know, I don't know that we'll ever get to that, but, like, I do, I mean, the talent level's there, I just don't know if we'll ever, you know, and I feel like, I think at one time they said we have more music venues per capita than, like, any other city or some kind of fact like that. Like, we have a lot of great venues all over this city, you know, in the greater St. Louis area.
Right.
And but yeah, I would love to see we get a little more recognition.
Right. Well, more to that point, I mean, I've lived in Iowa, Atlanta, down in Tennessee for a little bit, and all through that area. And I've been on to, I think last time I counted, 37 countries on cruise ships. Like, there's been all over the place. I've never seen a market like St. Louis where an Italian restaurant will say, hey, I want somebody to sit in my corner and entertain these people. And that's awesome. I mean, especially for the guy that's sitting on his couch, that's playing music and it's like, you know, I just like to go do it. There's so many gigs at every level, and that's huge. I mean, that's just it's an incubator for talent, and I think St. Louis has it. It's just, you know, it's not as in the forefront right now, which is cool. But right. Like I know she's a friend of your shows, but Hillary Fitz, I met her down at the Nashville Songwriters Association song camp thing I did, and she's outstanding.
Yeah.
And she's 30 minutes away from, you know, she plays all the time 30 minutes away from me, and I've, you know, we've never really heard of each other, and it was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, I need to start getting out more, but I play all the time, you know.
Hillary's incredible, great player, great talent, songwriter. Like, I'm very excited to see what she does with her career, because things are going to take off here soon for her.
She's hustling, that's for sure. That's what it takes.
Well, we're talking about, you know, you do play a lot of cover gigs, a lot of bar bar stuff, but you kind of want to get more into writing and recording originals, right?
Well, I mean, I've been writing now for a while. I mean, I'm going, I guess it, I wrote my first song probably when I was in college, so that would have been 04, 05-ish. And that was, well, I guess if you go farther back into high school cover bands, I mean, I scheduled a show. You remember the Music Pit?
Yeah, sure.
So I scheduled us a show. I was in a band called Eighth Wonder at the time, and it was, there was four of us, but one, the drummer was Victor Rebus. He plays for Hurt, and he's played all over the place. But
now he's
Smile Empty Soul.
Yeah, he left Hurt. Now he's with Sean and Smile Empty Soul.
But we wrote songs back then, and we actually – it was really funny because I scheduled – they used to do this competition where you'd go in and play your songs, and then they'd pick one of you, and they'd put you on some TV show at like 3:30 in the morning when nobody was watching. But I scheduled this so we had no – songs whatsoever, and in like 2 weeks we had to come up with like a 5-song set, and we did it, and we ended up actually getting and winning that and doing that, so that was really cool. But I mean, that was small potatoes. Yeah. But you know, that's I guess when I first started writing. But moving through the years, I got more serious about it, and then joining the Nashville Songwriters Association was huge. There's a lot of things that they have then they offer that are just unparalleled in the business. But yeah, I mean, I am right now writing for my what I would call my first, you know, full-length album. Have a ton of demos, ton of stuff like that, but I've just never released anything, and that's what we're moving towards now. So
yeah,
it's another step
for sure. Yeah, man, that's a big one. That'd be huge. You could you know, your debut out there, man, let everybody know what you've been up to.
Yeah.
Well, you did play a couple live acoustic songs today you wanted to share. And Middle of Moving On.
Yeah, so I wrote that with two of my friends, two of my songwriting buddies, and Bobby Evans and Tyler Lewis. The three of us wrote that song, and I think it started out as like a, you know, breakup song and everything else. I think if I remember correctly, I could be completely wrong, and if I am, they're definitely going to let me know it. But I think one of them was like, well, why don't we not write the typical love song that everybody does and write from a perspective that nobody's ever heard? And that's what we tried to do there. And it's from the, you know, the middle of, you've already broken up and you're kind of in that limbo where you're thinking about getting back together, or you're trying to, you know, just trying to navigate that situation. So that's kind of what that one's about. But
yeah.
Your memory, should I finish it or push it away? I guess at the end of the day, I'm stuck here in this purgatory, getting over you ain't working for me. I'll tell myself I'm better off, or at least that's what I thought. I don't wanna get too high or get too low, somewhere in between, holding on. Well, in the past, I take the fast track. I'm gonna make this whiskey last. When the one you back, feel this thought you'd ever really leave me. Getting over you'd be easy, but the more I try, the harder it gets. Even though I want to, I can't forget. I don't want to get too high or get too low. Somewhere in between holding on and letting you go. I don't want to dwell in the past and take the fast track. I'm going to make this whiskey last. When I'm wanting you back, feelings come on strong. Yeah, I'm in the middle of moving on. I stay real strong. I keep telling myself when I get to the bottom, they'll both be gone. I don't wanna get too high or get too low. I'm somewhere in between holding on and letting you go. I don't wanna dwell in the past and take the fast track. I'm gonna make this whiskey last. When I'm wanting you back, feelings come on strong. Yeah, I'm in the middle of moving on. Whoa, moving on. Oh, 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 yeah. Moving on.
It wasn't my – that one didn't come out of my head. I think that was Bobby's brainchild. But we definitely had fun writing it for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I think that song and I think just country music kind of in general, right, why it's become so popular is because it's very relatable.
You know,
there's a lot of a lot of these stories people are like, you know, oh, I've been there, or, you know, something I can connect to. And I can – for me, that's all my – what I relate to a lot in most in singer-songwriters is, like, you know, even maybe if I haven't exactly been through that situation, I can totally believe that they did, you know, or whatever. Right. It, you know, so it's like...
there's a line in the bridge of that song that I absolutely love, and I have no clue which one of us wrote it, but my favorite line in that entire song is the... I keep telling, or the bridge is, it's always one last sip. I try to stay real strong. I keep telling myself when I hit the bottom, they'll both be gone. That's so cool, because I don't know how many times I've been in a relationship or broken up, or you're just pissed off about something, and you're like, man, when I'm done with this whiskey, I'm done with that, you know. And so we kind of one or the other. So that's my favorite. That's the essence of that song, I would say.
Yeah.
So,
kind of reminds. Speaking of whiskey, man, like and I think of Chris Stapleton, man. That guy, like, what a brilliant writer he is. And but, like, his whole Traveler record was all about whiskey.
Yep.
And you know, there was a lot of those heartbreak and drinking songs on there. And
I saw him, believe it or not, I think it was between six and eight years ago down in Nashville at a songwriter night. And as soon as he opened his mouth, I was like, how is this guy not just absolutely huge? I mean, it was, I was like, this guy is just incredible. And then I started like, what an asshole. He's got such a good voice. Yeah. But, you know.
Well, I think Nashville's been saying the same thing for many years, and he just never broke. Obviously, he was writing a lot.
Sure. I think back then he was just ahead of himself. Yeah. I really do. And now we're catching up. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple other guys. There's a guy named Walker Hayes out there right now he's coming, and he's coming fast. And it's going to come out of nowhere, but he's been there for 12, 13 years. You know, however, I don't know how long, but it's been over 10 for sure. So
I got to see Chris at the Firebird right before.
I heard that was an awesome show.
Yeah, it was incredible. But yeah, it was right before he went and did the CMAs or whatever with Justin Timberlake, which that, you know, put him into a new level. Like, that put him on everybody's radar overnight. You know, it's like they saw that, and everybody started sharing that around, and it's like, you know, it's the power of the internet today where you can make it almost overnight like that. Like, it's, and obviously he was already well on his way with that Traveler record and everything else, but, you know, you put him up there with Justin Timberlake, and everybody wanted to talk about him. So
he's that good.
Yeah,
I mean, I can tell you from a musician sitting in a room. There's a guy playing a guitar and singing. He is that good.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like that.
Right,
like him play.
Yeah, and it's just like raw emotion, man. Like yeah. that's something that I really admire and connect to. Like the fact that, you know, he maybe has sung the song 1,000 times or 2, you know, whatever.
Right.
But every time he sings it, it feels like it's the first time.
Yep.
You know, it's like that's something really special about a performer and a singer songwriter.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we're all going for, I think. Yeah. You know.
But they had to connect on that emotion every time to where, you know, you just, you know, you can't help but to cry or whatever it is, you know, whatever emotion he wants to bring out of you,
right.
He can do it. And, like,
and he's just one of those singers, too, that you got, you know, like Steven Tyler. Nobody can sing like Steven
right.
Tyler. Gary LaVox from Rascal Flatts.
Sure.
Nobody can sing like that guy. But Dan and Cher, pretty close.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, those voices, and he's just one of those voices.
Definitely,
you know?
Man. Well, you got another one, So She Runs.
Yeah.
And again, like, this is, I mean, I feel like you're definitely kind of in that country, Nashville
sure.
sound. Is that kind of where your roots are? You feel like that's where all these songs kind of are going to be going that direction?
You know, for what I want to say, yes,
yeah.
For sure. I try to write pop songs. I do write pop songs, and I'll go write a rock song. And when I get into it and start diving, it's country.
Yeah.
But that's just the kind of the way I sing with the, you know, the way my voice is, I think. But for the things I want to say, yes, I'll be right in that vein, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this So She Runs song is I wrote this one by myself, and it's probably one of the more personal songs that I've ever written. It's 100% true, every line in there. I can take back to one person, but it's many people. It's basically, you know, everybody has families, and everybody has that person in the family that sucks and makes it hard for everybody else. I, fortunately enough, have probably about 2 or 3 of them. So, you know how that goes. But, no, I mean, I love my family to death. Even where this song comes from, I love these people. And, you know, it's just tough to navigate situations that are very emotional, and I think that's where it comes from. And I actually was writing about a situation that was happening with another family member, and I was, it's like, man, every time something gets tough, she runs. And when I saw that, I was like, damn, that would be cool. I mean, I'm sure that somebody's written that. And then I started looking for So She Runs, and I couldn't find anything, and I was like, okay, let me try it. And that one took about maybe 20 minutes. And it was done. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's personal, but I think those were the best ones come from.
It's never her fault. She never takes the blame. Always pointing fingers, always playing her games. She's always in the right, even when she knows she's wrong. When the going gets tough, she knows she ain't that strong. So she runs, she hides from the pain hidden deep in her eyes, and she lives in her own little prison, built on anger and little white lies. And she always plays the victim, standing in front of that loaded gun, 'cause she knows it's harder to fight, so she runs. Got a family that loves her, she always pushes away. Hasn't talked to her mama since her daddy died last May. Says she needs her space, lands her plane. So she runs, she hides from the pain hidden deep in her eyes. But she lives in her own little prison, built on anger and little wild lies. And she always plays the victim, standing in front of that loaded gun. Cause she knows it's harder to fight. So she runs, but she doesn't realize the longer she runs, the less people try. And it gets harder and harder for her to apologize. So she runs, she hides from the pain hidden deep in her eyes. And she lives in her own little prison, built on anger and little wild lies. And she always plays the victim, standing in front of that loaded gun. Cause she knows it's harder to fight. So she runs, she runs.
I love, I talk about it on here a lot with the writers, but I feel like I have this little theory that you hang around an old man long enough, you're going to write a couple of hit songs, because they just speak in hooks of country songs.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yeah.
Every line that comes out, you're like, man, that's a hook right there, you know, like.
And you got to be ready as a writer. I mean, I hang out with one of my friends from Nashville, and everything he says is a hook. And I'll just look at him like, what the fuck did you eat today? You know what I mean? Like, God, that's awesome. And I'm writing it down and I'm trying to keep it secret. But sure. Then he's like, oh, that'd make a good song. I'm like, delete. God dang it. You know, but it's you're totally right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, those little one-liners. The movies do that too, though. But yeah, that's what's so fun about it. There's music everywhere. And there's inspiration everywhere. And that's what makes it fun for me.
Yeah, I was talking to this group, Leland's Road.
Okay.
I don't know if you met them or not, but brother and sister. They do a lot of stuff, duo, but they also put together a band and a record now.
Sure.
Just had them on the show talking about their record. And it was fun because I got to record at their parents' house.
Oh, cool.
And they were kind of showed me some of the, off the mic, it went having a bit, some of the inspiration behind some of the songs.
Right.
They were saying, there was something like a breakup, and so they took down a picture of the previous couple.
Sure.
And there was something like they're just empty nails on the wall now, like where the nails.
Oh,
were,
that's heavy.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Nails where the frames once were.
Yeah.
And holding the picture, and it's like, and so they have a song on their record called "Empty Nails," and that was kind of like where how it all started. So I was like, man, that's really a cool thing, a real cool story.
Sure.
But that's all started with, I think Mom said that, and they were like, man, that's a song right there. So,
you know, and that's, you still have that down, especially in Nashville. I think that's the one place in music where music is still like that, where it's very, like you said, conversational and personal. But then you have the, you know, the truck songs and the,
sure,
and the stuff that turns people off. But I tell all my friends all the time, I'm like, yeah, you might not like country, but dig. Let me give you a list of songs and dig,
because
I mean, you're gonna find something that moves you, and I think that's the cool thing about music in general. But I definitely think that country music is strong.
So many people
in that sense,
right? So many people see what's on the surface. You know,
sure,
you get your Florida Georgia Line, Luke Bryan, all that stuff.
Right.
But yeah, if you dig and you listen to stuff that's not on the radio, like there's so much great music coming out of Nashville.
Sure.
And one of my, kind of what I was going to get into a little bit also, when I mentioned, you know, how you say you always kind of get into, kind of just always comes out country, you know, like, I feel like there's a guy I'm a huge fan of is Will Hogue.
And I love Will Hogue.
Yeah.
One
of the best, man. But one of my lines that always sticks with me with him is, you know, some of his early stuff was pretty rock and roll.
Right.
And then he said once he kind of went a little country and put out Even If It Breaks Your Heart, went, you know, number one with the Young Band and stuff.
Yeah.
And And but people are like, you know, well, what is it? What do you, you know, you play rock and roll, you play country, and he's like, we just play Will Hogue music, you know. And I was like, I love that line, and it's like, it just stuck with me, man. Like, and it's like, so many people want to box stuff into a genre,
sure.
And it's like,
well, you know, Nashville is it's a suit city. I mean, it really is, and it's. If you're not making money, why would they, you know, why would they push it? So I, you know, there's a place for the Florida Georgia Lines, and you know, I'm not saying that that's something that I listen to on a regular basis, but I like it and I respect it, and I think what they do is great. Hell, if I could do it, sure. I would. You know,
I met those guys in October 2011, yeah. Opening for Brantley Gilbert. They walked on stage at the pageant. Nobody knew their name. Nobody knew who they were, and they were pushing their EP at the time. And the EP, actually, if you haven't ever heard their EP, like, yeah. Go check that out. Yeah. It's some really great stuff. Long before Cruise came out, like, sure. a lot more gritty, kind of raw country. And but once Cruise hit and they got signed and they got a record deal and all this stuff, like, you know, things totally changed for them. But yeah, it was kind of crazy to meet those guys on the way up.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, there's a lot of blowback on what they're calling bro country right yeah. now, and you know, hey, I mean, I'd ride that pony until it fell over dead,
sure.
too. But and there, I mean, the market doesn't lie, right? So yeah. If it's still selling, somebody's listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
It might not be us, but it, you know, it's somebody, and they're buying it.
That's the same.
So.
It's the same with Nickelback or whatever. Everybody rips on Nickelback, but they sell out shows all over this country.
Sure.
And
I think it's sad. I think it's funny and satire to hate Nickelback.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. It's a,
yeah. I think, but
people are buying records, man. That's
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the market. The market doesn't lie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's marketing 101.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you got one more you wanted to share with us, and this one kind of a little heavier message, and this one
sure.
a little more depth,
right.
You know, like we pretty political too.
Yeah,
right, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and you know, it. I'll give you the brief synopsis of how this happened, but
yeah.
I wrote this with Ty Lewis and Bobby Evans again, and Bobby is a police officer in DePere. Yes, DePere, I believe. And he was on the internet scouring stuff, doing, you know, like you do in bed. And there was a post with Elizabeth Schneider, and she was going to do this TV show called We Are the Blue. And it was totally pre-production, so it wasn't even a conceivable thing yet. But they were talking about, they had the idea, and she was going to be the first episode or however it was going to work. So Bobby reached out to the director and or the producer of the show and asked if there was any music for it. She said no, and we said, okay, well, we'd like to take a crack at it. So we wrote this song. Since it's to my recollection that the show just isn't happening now, or there was something that I don't know the ins and outs of it, but so we had this song, and it's heavy, but I, you know, it's one of those things I've been asked before, because I'll play some city gigs and people ask me, well, you know, do you play that down there? And absolutely I do, because it's 100% what I believe. It doesn't matter where you come from politically. You have to respect the people that are out there saving our asses every day, whether it's a police officer, a firefighter, EMT, military. You have to respect those guys. And yeah, there's some bad ones for sure. And I don't even know what that's like to be on the other side of that fence, and I don't even try to. But I do know that these people are normal, you know, and I think that's the main thing we wanted to capture with this song, was that we're not putting these people on pedestals. We're normalizing the badge, you know.
Right.
And I think these days it's like this, you know, totally red and black thing where it's like, you know, you're on this side, you're on this side, pick a side. And there's guys like me that are like, man, I love everybody. And this song is for that show. That's what we had in mind. But then once we got really into the inner workings of it, we were very, very focused on making sure that we didn't put anybody on a pedestal and knock anybody down. So that's what we were trying to do here. And I think we captured it pretty well. And now what we're going to do with this song is we're going to create some sort of T-shirt or sort of something basically to give back to Backstoppers and first responders, basically. So when it rolls out, it isn't rolled out yet, but when it rolls out, there will be a huge thing on it. And every dime, we are not looking to make one penny on it. We just want to shove it all back into that, because, you know, people lose their lives every day, and families have to go without, you know, dads and husbands and,
sure, man.
You know, and that's sad, you know, so...
The truth in a world of lies, we are the light in the darker night. We wear this badge on our chest with pride. We are the blue, we are the shield between love and hate. We are the hope on your worst day. We hold the line between wrong and right. We are the blue.
So yes, I believe in this song 100%, every word of it, but that doesn't make me a crazy right-wing crazy person, you know, and like, it doesn't make me a left-wing crazy person either, so I think we're trying to stay middle of the road as we possibly can with it.
Yeah, man, so. That was a beautiful song, man. I really like it, but yeah, kind of going echoing that same thing. Like, I was just actually just listening to Howard Stern today. This is, we're recording this on the 12th, the day after 9/11, and they were kind of talking about that, like all these first responders and officers and all these people that ran in to save those people that day,
right?
And how there was something popped up in the news. There was another guy that just died from cancer and stuff, but complications from all that. So, like, you know, that one isolated event, you know, that of 9/11, like, still 16 years later, we're still having effects of all that. Like, so it's like these guys, they're still battling everything. You know, these guys go run into a burning building for us, you know.
Selfless.
Yeah, and like, there's long term effects too. So,
sure.
So like you're saying, all those backstoppers, all these different organizations that are doing different stuff to help out, you know, people wearing a badge. Like,
right.
It's I think it's a beautiful thing that to get back to some of that stuff. Right. And so,
I think as a whole, we've just kind of lost sight of what we're about, and on both sides. I mean, I'm totally, totally neutral on the whole political debate, and mm-hmm. I hate getting into it with people.
Sure.
Because I really don't have a stance on a lot of things. I just know it affects me day to day. And I know that these people that are out there will protect me if I need it, and they'll protect you, and they'll protect anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it's about. And that's all I know is what affects me, and that's what I can speak to. Everything else is I don't have any idea, don't even try to know. But so that's what this one's about. And you know, writing it with a police officer helped,
yeah,
because it was very. It was easy to get his opinion on, you know, well, we don't want to make you feel like we're pumping you up, tearing you down.
Sure.
We just want to feel like we're bringing each other on the same level. And they all feel that way. 98% of them feel the same way. They got the 2% that ruin it for everybody in every walk of life,
yeah,
everywhere.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, just right now the magnifying glass is on the police officers, and that's a shame.
Yeah.
But it's also a shame. The injustices that's happening everywhere else too. So,
yeah.
Just to level that out,
right?
It's all a shame. We just need to get back to loving each other. I mean,
that's
what it's about.
For sure, I agree. I fully support that.
Yeah.
You can follow Bill on your Facebook and Instagram. BillRMusic.com has all your information there.
Everything social media is BillRMusic. One word, no spaces. And that's everything across all the social media. So,
and but we have a big date. We want you to come out and party with us. This is September 23rd over at Newtown Amphitheater, and you may have seen Bill do some solo live acoustic stuff, but you're bringing along the full band this time, right?
Yeah, it's cool. We have Patrick Ampleman's on drums, Jake Camp is on guitar, and then from the Tony Campanella band, Nick Calico is playing bass for us.
Very cool, yeah.
So,
Nick's been on the show.
Nick's awesome.
Yeah,
he's
definitely.
Right around the corner waiting for me to get done so
love
he can
love
rehearse.
Guy,
but,
yeah,
Nick's awesome. He plays upside down bass. I don't know how he does that.
Right.
But, yeah, so it's us four, and we're just going to rock out for a few hours and have a good time. It's bring your coolers and your lawn chairs, and it's a big party out there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and a real nice setup out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a great evening. Again, the 23rd, there's a Facebook event and all that fun stuff if you need any more details. So come on out.
Yeah.
And keep an eye out. Like I said, we played a couple of on here, but keep an eye out for that debut record coming soon.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do another one. Circle back around when that record's ready to go. Man.
I'm in.
So, I thank you for doing this, man. It's been
thanks
a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me, man.
And,
thanks for having me. So it's awesome. I love what you do, man. Thank you very much for what you do. So,
well, I appreciate the support, Bill.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll let you get out there and
cool.
Get ready for the show, man.
Sounds
thanks, buddy.
Good. We'll see you, bud.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.